Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Eric. That was beautiful music. Isn't it wonderful to be able to come to church and listen to just wonderful, godly music? And I appreciate it very much. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is actually something I think will be a blessing to you and a challenge to our hearts. As many of you already know, I do several different things in this church. One of the things I do for the church is I work with the internet ministry. I work with experienceliberty.com, and I work with the radio ministry, and Caleb and I up there, we work on all the little details so that we can have media, we can have sound. There's guys working up there every week, every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, with wonderful talents to be able to make it so, first of all, you can hear me, and secondly, just so there's some interaction to keep you guys awake and so that you can enjoy it. Technology is something that really has marked the 21st century, hasn't it? It's something that really has been involved in our lives in many different facets, whether we know it or not. I remember when I was young, much younger,
back in the day.
My dad and I, we had a Commodore 64. Now, some of you that brings older memories. But for me, I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I remember I wanted to play games on it. But in order to play games, you normally had to type a special set of commands, stick the little floppy disk in there, and then you just kind of wait. And then, like, you know, a watch pot never boils. You know, you didn't want to watch it because if it crashed, you wouldn't play again. So I would go down, eat dinner, come back up, and hopefully Pac-Man was ready to go. And I grew up with that, and then later on we got a Nintendo, and that was just really, really cool. And ever since then, I have been really involved in computers, and I really enjoyed that. I went to college and studied computer science, and the Lord has used it for His honor and His glory, and I thank the Lord for that. But we live in a technology age, don't we? Cell phones, DVDs, Blu-ray, 5.1 surround sound. We have a GPS on our phones nowadays. We have the ability to stream content directly to your computer. Right now, with about a 4-second delay, I am being broadcast all over this world. All right. I'm being broadcast all over this world. Anybody can tune in to experienceliberty.com. Click the Voice of Liberty button, and there's going to be a video, and there I am, 4 seconds delay from right now. That's just an amazing thing. It's just an amazing thing how man has progressed and done some things. But once again, with technology, with any new thing that comes out, with anything that we live with, we must compare it with Scripture. We must look at things with a biblical perspective. Unfortunately, many times Christians, we get sucked into the vortex of going along with the flow. Something new comes along and we get on the bandwagon, and sometimes we don't even know why we're doing it. And then sometimes we'll ask the question, don't we? We'll say, well, what's wrong with it? When the question we really don't need to ask is what's wrong with it, we need to ask the question, what's right with it? So tonight, what I'd like to do is look at specifically a form of technology called the internet. And I want to look at, and maybe we can study together, look at some passages in Scripture that will help us see what a Christian's response should and shouldn't be concerning the internet. We have a whole bunch of available technologies to us. Like I said, we have streaming music and movies. We can use search engines to find anything you want. You can use Google or Bing or even Seek Shall Find. And we can use websites and do things and look for things, and we can find a whole bunch of information. Nowadays, there's video games galore to entertain our children. There's cell phones and mobile devices. We've got Blackberries and iPhones and PDAs. We've got Wi-Fi and mobile broadband. You could be anywhere and stay connected all the time. We've got GPS and OnStar, email, texting, social networking. There's MySpace. There's Facebook. There's Twitter. There's Messenger. There's ICQ. There's Skype. There's a whole bunch of different technologies out there. What is the Christian's response to these things? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us tonight. Lord, I pray that as we kind of have a fireside chat tonight, as we look in your word, I pray that you would just use some of the things that you put on my heart and some of the things that I've seen and noticed, Lord, and from Scripture that we can learn concerning this thing of the internet. Should we use it? Should we stay away from it? What should we do? What are the guidelines that the Bible has put forth in usage? I pray you would just help me, Lord, and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray your people would have sensitive hearts tonight as they listen to your word being preached. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this all started off because for school, I'm the math teacher at school here, and I also do chapels in the morning, on Monday mornings. And Pastor Shore and I sat down and talked about what we should teach our children and what would be some things in a 30-minute little message that we could help our kids with. And the subject of technology kept coming up over and over and over again. And as I looked into it, I realized one thing. I have never, ever heard a message in my entire life preached on technology per se, specifically. I've heard preachers preach against some of the things that are incorrect with technology, some of the problems with the Internet, but not specifically a message detailed directly about the Internet. And so that kind of concerned both of us, because the truth is our children, your children and our children are going to be completely surrounded by this, whether we like it or not. Unless you want to be a monk and go off somewhere or live in the country, and that's perfectly fine if God calls you to do that. But the thing is, if you live in modern society, you will be surrounded by the Internet and technology. So what do you do? Do you just shut everything off and just say, you know what, I'm never going to use it? All right, that might be a choice you need to take. Or is there some things that we can use it for God's glory? Well, I want to look at three things tonight. First thing, I want to look at the pitfalls of the Internet. Some of the things that the Bible is very clear about that we should stay away from as Christians. Secondly, I want to look at the blessings of the Internet. Some of the really good things you can use the Internet for. And then thirdly, I just want to give you, just honestly, just give you some practical tips and maybe some basic guidelines to help you and your family. That's my whole goal tonight. I'm not preaching to you per se. I'm kind of sitting down with you, just helping you out, because I went to school for this. I see it in our teens, and I see it in young people, and I see it in adults too. Some people have no clue what's going on out there. And if you have no clue, Brother Kurt raised his hand there. If you have no clue, if you don't use it, that's fine. But the thing is, if you have kids in your house, and as a parent you have no clue, they will have a clue. And the clue that you'll find out, you will not like. I guarantee it. All right? So what we're going to look at is maybe some things that'll help you. And I just want to be a help to you tonight. And if you have any questions, you're more than welcome after. We can talk about it. And as I saw, like I said, with the teens, I prepared some messages, and then Brother Clayton Sullivan came up to me and said, man, yeah, that really spoke to my heart. And he said, you know, we need to do that for church. And I talked to Pastor. He said, you know what, one of these days, when they allow me to preach again, we'll go ahead and do that. So that's what we'll be looking at tonight. All right, let's look at your notes tonight. Hope everybody has a copy. If you don't, maybe some ushers can come by and hand you a copy of the notes. And we'll go through this, and basically I'm going to give you a point, talk about it a little bit, and give you some verses to help you out. I put all the verses there on your note sheet here so that you guys can follow along and know exactly what I'm talking about, so you can keep it for reference for yourself. All right, let's look at some pitfalls of the Internet. What are the things that we need to be wary of? First of all, first thing that the Internet does that I've noticed is it promotes self-glorification. It promotes self-glorification. It all started with, well, there's lots of things that started, but the big one we've heard of is MySpace. MySpace. Now, when you really think about the name, first of all, is it MySpace? No, it's God's space. All right? So it's not really MySpace. All right? And the thing they put on MySpace is very, very, can be very, very dangerous. Now, I've seen some good MySpace pages. All right? But I'll say the majority of them have no restrictions. They just let it all go. All right? And on MySpace, there's a lot of things that we need to be, that people will put out there that Christians ought never look at. Christians not ever be involved with. So that's the kind of attitude that we have. The look at me attitude. Well, let's look at Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. You can turn there in your Bible. It's right there in your notes if you like. Let's look. What does God think about self-glorification? The Bible says in Proverbs 6 and in verse 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Notice that first one, a proud look. God absolutely despises the fact that you glorify yourself. Why? Because all glory belongs to Him. He created you. What right do we have to say, well, look at me? It's God the one who created us. God hates a proud look. What about this one in 1 Peter 5:5? In 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you to be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to resist me in my life. So if you are constantly self-glorifying yourself, you have to ask the question. First of all, God hates the fact that I'm doing that. And secondly, you ought to be clothed with humility. And thirdly, God will resist you for doing that. So be careful about things like MySpace. Are you glorifying yourself in what you do when you put things about yourself on the internet? Or do you use it as a means to glorify God? All right, second thing. What else does it do? It promotes self-glorification. Another pitfall. It encourages a false reality. It encourages a false reality. Now, we know there's a lure and a kind of a mystique of being somebody you're not, right? You kind of, you know, maybe you grew up and you were kind of the wimp. And then, you know, you could never play sports. You kind of, you know, stuck behind a computer all your life. Sounds a little too familiar. You didn't maybe have some physical abilities like others did, maybe because of restrictions or so. So then you get on the internet. And on the internet, you can be anybody you want to be. You can be tall. You can be blonde hair, blue eyes, 210 pounds, can bench press 450. Why is everybody looking at Bill? The only thing he's missing is the blonde hair. You can be anything you want. And you say, well, that's silly. Listen, there are people who live their entire lives in a virtual world. You may never hear about them. You may meet them, you know, they're the ones that you see on your way to work. They take the bus or whatever, and then they get in a cubicle all day or not. But they're living a false reality. You may say, well, that's harmless. They're not harming anybody. The problem is we live in reality. We live in a world that is lost and it's dying and it's on its way to hell. And here you are in a virtual world that doesn't exist. A real world has real people with real needs. And if you're in the virtual world, you can't meet their needs. Now, is it wrong? Maybe once in a while. Maybe some people, I have young people that talk to me all the time. They like to play video games and they have a little character online and they go and fight things. And that might be all right, okay, to an extent. But the problem is I know people that are obsessed, that are addicted to their virtual self. They're trying to be something that God didn't create them to be. Listen, God said that He made you fearfully and wonderfully, that He made you. And here you are saying, well, I don't like how God made me. I'm going to be somebody else. There's a danger to that. It decreases real interaction with real people. It lessens the value of the soul of men, and it decreases the fragility of life. You don't care. It's a virtual world. You're not, your emotions are stuck virtually. You're not part of real interaction with real people. I know some people that are great at texting, but they can't talk to anybody. All right? You need to be careful of that. Are you living in a virtual life? All right, third point. It consumes time. All right? This is a big one, especially at young ages. And if you don't nip it early, it can be a real problem later on in life. Entertainment, movies, video games, they may be used harmlessly once in a while just to relax and to get away from everything. I understand that. But in large amounts, it's a time vacuum. It'll eat every hour you have. I remember sometimes my dad, on a Saturday morning, you know, we had nothing to do, and I would do what I'd have to do. I'd go cut the grass, and I'd come back in, and then I'll clean the pool, and then I'll go swimming for 30, 45 minutes, come back out. And then the computer was there. All right, and then I said, I got to beat this level. And then you got to get on there and you play. And I am not joking. my dad finally put a little clock on there and says, you have 1 hour to play. And then when you're done that, you can go and do whatever you want. But I would play, and then I'd be there for 3, 4, 5 hours. As long as the Mountain Dew kept coming, I was playing. And you say, oh, nobody lives like that. Listen, in South Korea, they recently were making a study. And years ago, listen, when I grew up, a lot of times there was toys, little plastic cheap toys that said made in Korea. And you knew that was kind of, you know, at the time, cheap stuff was made in Korea. But then later on, they got on the technology bandwagon and they really, really progressed to the point where technology has been a huge, they've really, really used technology to improve society, and they've done a really wonderful job. But with that comes the neglect of the children. There are kids who are addicted, more addicted than crack cocaine, to video games and to online systems. It's so bad, in fact. I was watching something the other day they had on Frontline, and they said that there's kids that are so obsessed, they open up addiction schools. Not for alcohol, not for substance abuse, but for video games. It's a park that kids can go to and they can play. And there's a swing and there's some dirt on the ground and some sticks. And what do you do with that? There's no electronics, no cell phones, no Blackberries, no internet, no nothing, no TV, no radio, no nothing. You're in the middle of nowhere. And these kids, I mean, they go into they go badly into their bodies just can't take it. And they get fidgety, and then they need stuff, and they want to go on Tylenol and Advil because they cannot take the headaches because they're so used to playing video games all day long. I mean, they play 8, 10, 15 hours a day, and they fail school, they don't care about life, and they become zombies. Now, are video games wrong inherently? No, not like a lot of things are not wrong, but if you get addicted to it, it's a real problem. So it can cause, it consumes time. Look what Ephesians 5:16 says. And remember, God is speaking here. It's not me. God says in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Redeeming is as in you have something and you're going to use that which you have been given to the best of your ability. Because when it's out, it's done. You can't buy more time. There's a lot of things you can buy. But time is something you can't buy. And we always need more time, don't we? We never have enough time in the day to get things done. And the problem is, if you're addicted to something, you're just wasting your time, your life away on something that really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So you have to redeem the time. That's what God says. All right, not only does it consume time, let's look at the next one. It causes distractions and interruptions in your life. Causes distractions and interruptions in your life. Now listen, a cell phone is really a wonderful tool, okay? Amen. Listen, it can be used, it can really be used for, yeah, emergencies. You can use it to stay in contact with people. I'm not saying cell phones are bad, okay? What I'm saying though is there's a problem. When people can't talk to you and have a conversation, hold on, let me get my cell phone. Listen, I'm talking to you. Listen, and it doesn't offend me that bad because I'm pretty young, but I'm saying if I was talking to some of these older folks, all right, and I always point that way, and Brother Kurt, if I was talking to you and you were having a good conversation with me, and I just pulled out my cell phone and said, hey, one second, hold on, I'm talking. Okay, that would offend Kurt. All right, you'd probably offend my face after that too. All right, because listen. Back in the day, when you talk to somebody, you talk to them. All right. Nowadays, I mean, your cell phone goes off, your beeper goes off. Hold on. You never get to talk to anybody because you're constantly interrupting other people. All right. Is a cell phone bad? Listen, but you have to be careful. Are you wise? Are you courteous with people? All right, are you constantly just interrupting people just because, wait, I got to answer my call, my phone, iPhone. Yeah, no, there you go. All right, so yeah, you have a problem talking to people. Why? Because you're too busy interrupting people. Listen, have a conversation with somebody. Just talk to them without your cell phone. Hang it up, turn it off. My boss will fire me. Well, he'll get over it. Okay? You say, man, that's rough. I say, listen, back in the day, listen, I tell my kids all the time, and they about pass out. I said, my first cell phone I got when I was 23. All right? And they're like, what? You didn't have a cell phone growing up? No, I didn't need one. I mean, I fell and got hurt, and you know, it was okay. I made it home. All right? Listen, I mean, yes, can it be used as an emergency? Yes. But listen, kids don't have to have a cell phone. All right? If you give them one, all right, listen, are they able to handle that responsibility? If you don't think so as a parent, don't give them one. As much as they beg and whine and get mad at you, you are the head of your household. You tell them what the rules are. When they're 18, they can buy a $90 cell phone plan if they want to. All right? So, and if you have to give them one, listen, they're drivers or something like that, I understand, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be too harsh here. All right? But make sure you have guidelines with them, and we'll go a little bit over those tips and stuff that we need to go over. Communication while driving. This MIT did a research. Communication and texting has proved to be very dangerous and caused many fatalities in the last several years. When MIT did a study, they said that people texting, I don't know why you would do this, texting while driving, all right, okay, or even two hands, all right, texting while driving, you are 23% more likely to have an accident than a drunk driver, all right? I don't want to be labeled in that category, so I'm not texting while I'm driving anymore. All right, no. No, I never made a habit of texting, but I see some of these people when I'm driving to work, and it freaks me out. I got to break the speed limit just to get past them because I don't want to be in a wreck with them. Listen, their compact is open. The makeup is being done while they're texting. They're doing everything except for driving the car. Okay? It's funny, but I mean, listen, is life, are you really that busy that you have to text while you drive? All right, do something smart and put the Bible on CD and listen to it or something, okay? It'll prevent you from having to horn cuss people, all right? Next one. Promotes earthly thinking instead of eternal thinking. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20, this is Jesus speaking, and he tells his people, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We ought to be thinking about heavenly things, about eternal things. Now listen, we live in the day-to-day world. There are some earthly things you need to take care of. Okay, and that's normal. But the problem with the internet is they bombard you with things that apply to your senses. What you see, what you want to eat. You get advertisements for food. You get advertisements for things that you can buy that you can't afford and put on a credit card. And we don't use credit cards anymore because Pastor preaches against it on Sunday night. So, but isn't it true though? That it's this constant advertisement after advertisement. And then sometimes you look and go, oh, that, I really need that thing that I don't need. You know, and you look at it and you say, I need that. And it's just constant. It doesn't stop. Billboards are the same thing. Commercials are the same thing. But on the internet, it's just rampant. It's everywhere. Advertising. You need this. You need this. You need this earthly thing. You need this worldly thing. You need this thing for yourself. Are you thinking about godly things or are you thinking about earthly things? The next thing, it provides a sense of false privacy. In Ezekiel chapter 8, there's a very interesting passage here. Where God reveals something to Ezekiel. And I'm not going to read the whole passage for sake of time, but it kind of gives a glimpse in Ezekiel chapter 8. About halfway through the chapter, it shows something interesting that's happening in God's temple, in God's house. And it says here in verse 3, and he put forth the form of my own hand and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, Seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And they stood before them 70 men of the ancients. These were the prophets, the ones that were in charge of the house of God. Ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jehazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And I'll stop there. Notice the passage in verse 12. They say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Let me ask you, does the Lord see everything you do? Does he know the thoughts and intents of your heart? You have no business at 1 o'clock in the morning being on the internet browsing what you should not look at. Why? Because nobody sees you. God sees you, and it's wicked sin that you're committing on there. Listen, young lady or woman, you have no right chatting to men while your husband is at work. Why? Because it's just flirting. They love me for who I am, not for what I look like. You have no business doing that. Why? Because God sees you. Here the ancients, those that people would look up to, the pastors and the elders of the tabernacle and of the temple, were in there committing secret in the dark. There was a hole, and he had to dig through the hole and open the door. And God showed them that vision and said, look at the wickedness. There's graffiti and immorality and everything pictured on the walls. And they say, God doesn't see any of it. And God was afar off. I don't want that to be happening with this church. I don't want God to be far from this church because there's things going on in the dark, in the secret. There's no such thing as privacy on the internet. You may be able to clear your history. You may be able to backtrace your browser. You may be able to get rid of everything on your hard drive. Every computer, every IP address, every internet service provider that you have been on has tracked that information for the last 5 years. The FBI at any time could find out every website, every image, every button you have ever clicked. If you clicked something, and in the stuff that you did in the dark and I put on the screen, would you be ashamed? Would you be ashamed on the stuff that you've clicked on in the past? You'd be ashamed because people saw it. Listen, God saw it way before people saw it. You can't do anything in secret. There is no privacy. Next thing, it encourages gossip. Encourages gossip. Now this is a big one because, you know, I'd like to say, I've never seen this before. The problem is I see it every day. Like every day. I mean, I don't Facebook. My wife is the one who does our Facebook because I want her to make sure she filters and lets me know of news and stuff like that. So she takes care of that. And she lets me know of missionaries that we support, and there's some just wonderful things you can do on Facebook, and some family friends and people that are away, and we just constantly keeping in touch. You know, missionaries don't have to send out 10,000 prayer letters and mail them for 44 cents a stamp. Now they can just put something on Facebook and everybody can see it. It's in a good way. But listen, you know what? I was shocked one day when I saw a couple arguing on Facebook. They posted one comment. Well, he said this. And they posted another comment. Well, that no good, whatever. Posted this. An argument on Facebook. All right, man who did that, all right? If you're listening to me right now, can't you talk to your wife to your face? All right, aren't you man enough to be able to, if you have a problem, to talk to her about it? All right, you don't have to go behind your wife's back or your friend's back, or your spouse's back, or your cousin's back, or whoever it is, and post something like, well, I heard that this. And then somebody, listen, everybody in the world that is following you will see that. All right, next time you want to gossip, or, well, he said, she said, all right, I open up the mic to you. You can come up, stand here, and you can say it to the whole auditorium on Sunday morning. I would never say that. Then why are you putting it on Facebook? Everybody in the auditorium will see it anyway. Listen, I don't understand this thing. Gossip is a wicked, wicked thing, and people just feel like they can do it whenever they want. In Matthew 12, verse 34, it's in your notes here. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When you gossip on Facebook, you're saying, hey, look at me. I'm a fool, and I'm proud of it. You're saying, this is what my heart thinks all day. I think bad about other people. Just wanted you to know that. Why would you do that in a real person? Okay, but people do it on Facebook all the time. I see it every day. Comments that should not be said. Friends posting demeaning comments on their blogs, on their chat sites, on their social networks. In James 3, it's actually interesting what James says here. He talks about the tongue. I'm not preaching on the tongue tonight, but in verse 5 through 10, I just want to elaborate a little bit about the danger of what we say on the internet. Verse 5 of James 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member, or a little finger that you click, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defies the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's your tongue, folks. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Be careful what you say on the internet. You have no right posting pictures of other people without their permission. I hate it when I see that. That's me on somebody else's site. I didn't give you permission to put me on your site. If you ask me, I might let you. But I'm saying it's not you. That's a picture of me. All right. I don't want me all over the internet unless I want myself there. Does that make sense? All right. So you need to be courteous. Sometimes we don't. We just think, oh, let's put it on Facebook. Wait a second. You may be hurting somebody. You need to ask people before you do. You gossip about them. Next thing. It flaunts improper relationships. Affairs are on an all-time rise because of the curiosity and ease of the use of the internet. Pastors' families are destroyed. Ministries are collapsed. All because of curiosity. They say curiosity killed the cat, but curiosity killed the church. Wives want to feel loved for who they are, not for what they look like. So they get curious and they talk to men who say, well, I like your personality. Women need that. Husband, you better be giving that to your wife. Husbands looking for adventure and excitement. They browse on sites they ought not be because maybe they're not getting that adventure at home or whatever. But it's a spawning ground, a breeding ground for improper relationships. It's very, very easy, man, to talk to a lady online. It's very, very easy, young lady, to talk to a man online. You got to be very, very careful. You got to protect yourself. I put in the notes there, read Proverbs 7, 6 through 23 for time. I'm not going to go over that. But there it talks about the young man who is foolish, who looks out of his window and sees the harlot. And she entices him and says, well, why don't you come over to my place and my space? And then she invites him over. And she said, the good man's not here. It's okay. You can come. And she entices him. It explains it very, very the foolish steps the man takes. Listen, the internet will do the same thing. The curiosity to click. It provides a playground for predators. Do not believe that everyone on the internet is your friend. Now, this is mainly for young people, and I said some things to the young people when I was preaching to youth group, and they were shocked when I said it. The FBI had recently, and several years ago they did the same thing, but recently I read they conducted a sting operation online. They went to a young girls' chat site where 13, 15-year-old girls go on there, and, you know, they talk about the things they like, and, you know, just harmless, right? They posed themselves as a 13-year-old young lady and talked about, you know, riding ponies and just the things that girls like to do and just all the, you know, girl things and what kind of makeup do you, all the fun things they like to do. There was 23 other girls in there, and, you know, they were chatting and just talking, giving information about what high school they went, in between school they went to. All right, and we have K through 12 here, so I don't understand everything. You know, they're just talking about things, and, the FBI, with all the technology they have, they traced the IP addresses. They went and visited the houses that these people were at. And 22 out of 23 of these were not 13-year-old girls. They were adult men. There was actually no girls in there. That's even stranger. There was men posing as 13-year-old girls, all right, on a fun chat site. Listen, I'm going to be very blunt. If you let your 13-year-old daughter on a chat site, you are a foolish parent. Okay? I'm just telling you like that. Okay? There's nothing else I can say to be nice. All right? That's what the Bible says. Okay? You are very foolish if you let your child go on these chat sites by themselves. All right? And let them wander and do whatever they want. Do you want a predator to look at, oh, I go to Liberty Baptist Academy. Oh, really? Oh, my mom picks me up at 4 p.m. after school every day. Oh, really? All right? Next thing you know, now, we don't do this at our school. We don't let any children walk out with any parent, okay? Praise the Lord for that. But next thing you know, at 4 p.m., you come 4 or 5, you're a little late, and somebody comes up and says, oh, listen, your daughter's been in a terrible accident. They say, your mom's been in a terrible accident. Listen, I'm going to take you to her. She's in the hospital. I'm going to take you. And then your 13-year-old daughter walks off with a predator. Listen, it happens every minute of every day. If you do not believe it, search it on the internet. Okay, it would be scary what you find. Would you ever let an adult male in your daughter's bedroom without your permission? No, unless you had a shotgun. Then let me ask you, parent, why do you let your daughter have a computer in her room, your son have a computer in their room where they can chat, they can talk, they can email, they can do whatever they want, when you would never even let a man step foot in that room without you being there, okay? But you let them behind the computer all the time. Provides a playground for predators. Next one, makes personal information easily accessible. A lot of people like to put everything about themselves on the internet. All right? I'm a private person. I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. You guys ask me questions, I'll share. You know, I'm friends with you. We're family here. But listen, I don't want everybody to know where I live. I don't want everybody to know what my phone number is. I don't want everybody to know what my email address is. Why? Because it's none of their business. Listen, I'd love to. You guys can come over to our house anytime, all right? You're family. And we love each other, and we want to spend time with each other. But listen, I don't want everybody to know that. Be careful what you put on the internet. Don't post everything about your life. There should be some privacy, the correct kind of privacy. Next one, increases exposure to pornographic content. Now, I'm not making my message is not on this entirely. Pastor can spend a whole entire message on this subject alone. But the pornographic industry is actually aimed toward audience much younger than you think. They want to grab your 11 to 14-year-old young boys and young ladies as well, so that they get so hooked on it so badly that by the time they're 17, they're maxing out their credit cards. They're addicted to it. People have actually scientifically proven that pornography is more addictive than crack cocaine. And it's destroying families. Not only is it destroying families, it's destroying churches, just frankly. I wish I could say I've never met a pastor that dealt with this. Listen, they have hotlines. Focus on the Family has hotlines specifically for pastors dealing with pornography. And you say, man, what's wrong with you people? Are you sick perverts? Listen, we're human. All right? We're men. All right? There's red hot blood that goes through our veins. Okay? Listen, we're tempted for certain things. But listen, you don't need to be tempted if you protect yourself. Okay? Get rid of the temptation. We'll show you some tips on that. Proverbs 6:23-29 says, "But I say unto you," Jesus is speaking, "that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." It was bad enough that the Pharisees said, "I've never had adultery." He said, "Oh yeah, if you look on a woman and commit adultery, you've done it in your heart already." Those are harsh words, but it's the truth. Be careful what you look at, men, and ladies too. It used to be that it'd just be men that you would be speaking to primarily, but nowadays it's all over the place. It's sad because it cheapens the view men have of women and promotes self-gratification instead of pure lifestyle. Job 31:1, Job said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look or think upon a maid?" You see, I heard this. This is not original with me, but a movie has an ending. A book has a final chapter. A magazine has a final advertisement and a back page. But the internet is limitless. It just keeps going on and on and on. It just doesn't stop. You need to be very careful. Psalms 101:3. In college, I put this on my computer screen. "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Now, all of you have sad faces. Let's look at the blessings of the internet, or the blessings of technology. Some things you need to be careful of, pitfalls. Is there many more? Oh yeah, I could spend a lot more time. But for sake of time, I've given you some of the most prominent ones that I've seen. Now the thing is, the truth behind it is the internet is not all bad. Okay, I want to make that clear. I've heard people preach about, well, back in the day they preached about the hellavision. You ought not have a television, it's a hellavision. Throw it out, burn it, break it. All right? Listen, I'm not going to preach about only about the evils of the internet. Okay? All right? You wicked Christian, you're on the internet all the time. Listen, there are some wonderful things. If I said that, I have to pull down experienceliberty.com. We have to shut off the internet access and everything here. Okay, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Listen, there's some great things you can do on the internet. What are some things you can do? Number one, listen, this is the greatest and most exciting thing. Provides a great means for evangelism. Man, this is great. I have reports on everything we do here. In this last year, just in about 10 months of having sermonaudio.com, I get a report every month. All right, on what we did. Total MP3 sermons downloaded, 17,864. Listen, I only preach once and people listen to me multiple times. That is an amazing thing. All right? You know what's great? Like, I was looking at one the other day. Pastor Matt's message on 7 steps for perfect dating was listened to 462 times in the last year. That means 462 teenagers or adults listen about the right thing about dating. Isn't that great? Like maybe your child misses a youth group, or maybe you miss something and you miss it. Listen, you can go back and be still fed. It's great. We download them on our iPod. By the way, we are broadcasting on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, you go to the podcast, you look up Liberty Baptist Church. We're listed right there. You can subscribe, and then when you hook up your iPod or your iPhone, you just get it automatically downloaded to your phone. Man, it's great. I love listening to pastors' messages and just being re-encouraged. Listen, 17,864 messages were listened to. All geographic locations just last month in April. 45 people listened in Canada. Yes. All my parents. Germany, 22 people. United Kingdom, 22 people. Malaysia, 21. Australia, g'day mate, 21. Mexico, 9. Kuwait, 9. United Arab Emirates, 2. China, 2. Ireland, 2. Italia, 2. Romania, 2. Russian Federation, 2. Singapore, 2. Slovenia, Slovakia, 1. Sri Lanka, 1. Taiwan, 1. Trinidad and Tobago, 1. Turks and Caicos Islands, 1. Uganda, Jamaica, Japan, Israel, France, Brazil, Vanuatu, Macedonia, the former Yugoslavic Republic of. Okay, and Philippines, 5. All right, there you go. All right, this was in 1 month. All right, and we don't even broadcast that much. We only have about 266 messages online. But listen, isn't that great? People can listen all over the world about this. I didn't put it on here, but I laughed. Pastor laughed about it. I can on our experienceliberty.com website, I can see where people are viewing us from. It shows us the location and the IP address, where people see us. All right? And at one point, I saw there was a picture, a link to our You Can Know For Sure video. You know, the one you click online and its pastor gives you the five things you must know, one thing you must do to get saved. And then I was looking, I said, man, this guy posts on everything. I looked, it was an eBay page. And there's some guy in Malaysia, he sells like electronic equipment on eBay. And like every time he sells something, on the bottom it says, you can know for sure, you know? And it says, you can know for sure. And then I was like, you click and it picks to our website and people watch the gospel. I mean, every month there's hits from this guy. I want to buy something one day because this guy's doing so good for us. Who told them? I don't, maybe it's one of your family members. But in that grace, we can, listen, we go door knocking. We're evangelistic. We try to do everything we can. We print mailers. We print postcards. We do what we can. But listen, this is doing something I can't do. All right? I can't go to these places. But praise the Lord, using the internet, you can. It's a great, great resource. Voice of Liberty Radio, streaming 24/7 when it's up and running. I'm working on that, okay? Last month, 593 people listened to Voice of Liberty Radio, individual computers at different times. Is that a lot? Maybe not, but somebody wanted to listen to the radio. All right? It's all Brother Haig. So they listen to it all the time. Listen, I get phone calls sometimes. If it's not up at 7:01, I get a text from Simon Chong. Brother Yen, I'm at work right now. I can't watch the service. You know? And then, start. Okay, good. Now he's good. You know? Listen, people listen to this stuff. Is it always perfect? Is it running perfect all the time? No. But listen, we're doing the best we can. And if we pass an offering plate after, we can maybe do a little bit much better. All right? But 593 people listen to our services streaming live. Last year, on experienceliberty.com, we had over 52,255 individuals' computers go onto our website. Over 52,000 people visit our website. Maybe by accident, even better, all right? Or maybe on purpose. Maybe it was me just trying to fix the computer. And I have pastor's daughters just keep clicking all day long. But 52,000 people, listen, that went on our website and could be influenced and get saved or get information about our church or be encouraged by messages. It's just a wonderful tool. Where do we get this from? How come using the internet? Well, in 1 Corinthians 9:22, Paul said, it's in your notes there, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I didn't say I was going to save everybody. We never said that. But listen, if we spent all the money and we spent 20 years of going on experienceliberty.com and one person that got saved, it would be worth it all. It'd be worth it if one person gets saved on the internet. So, bring them on. We're as many people as you bring to that website, the more people we're going to share the gospel with. Second thing, offers resources for biblical research. Listen, a wonderful tool, not just on the internet, but there's some software you can buy and download and you can use in your computer. Listen, I did cross references. I looked up passages. I looked up topics and I found verses. I looked up verses and I found topics. I did this online. I did it on my computer. Now you got to be careful sometimes online because there's a whole bunch of wackos out there. Because they're Baptist doesn't mean they're Bible believing. All right. The Bible says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So be careful what you read on the internet. You got to understand that. Take it with a grain of salt. But listen, there's a lot of good stuff out there. A lot of good resources. If you want to write this down, I don't have it in the notes, but I use a software. It's free. Let me repeat that again. It's free. It's legal, okay? And it's free. It's called esorg.net. You can go on that website, download a... I don't have it up there, I don't believe. Okay? Esorg.net. It's a website. You can go down, download a Bible software for your computer, completely free. Listen, I've got about 12 or 13 different versions of the Bible. I've got Hebrew. I've got Greek. I've got Greek lexicon. I've got... about 8 or 9 commentaries, free. It's free. It's open source. You're allowed to download it. A guy named Rick Myers put the website up. Just wants to do it, give it freely, and provide that for you. You can have dictionaries and resources, and you can have Charles Spurgeon's notes, and you can have his devotion, all free. And you can get this on your computer, cross-reference, look up passages. It's great. It's got little memorization things. How many verses do you want to memorize in how many weeks? And it calculates it out. You print it out and you follow that plan. It's a great tool. If you have a Mac, you could use Mac Sword. They don't have eSword for PC. Let me repeat that again. eSword.net. If you have a Mac, Mac Sword. These are just tools you can use. I want to be a help to you. Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You go home and you test the passages I've given you. Don't take my word for it. You go home and you download the eSword and you look it up and, oh, that's good. And you'll find more verses. It'll be a help to you. Not only does it offer resources for biblical research, it can help you save time and money. Okay, to be honest, a lot of good deals on the internet. If you're careful and you're a bargain hunter, man, you can save a lot of money. A lot of, I mean, I got plane tickets for wonderful prices before. So listen, the internet's not all bad. There's a lot of good things. You can save money and time. And hey, if we can save time and money, I'll do it anytime. I can, as long as it doesn't violate my godly conscience. You can book flights, hotels, vacations. You know, take your family out. But, you know, you get a discount on it. You can do a whole bunch of things. You can buy groceries online. You can plan things. There's a whole bunch of things to help you with your budget. There's resources. Dave Ramsey's website. We're going to be doing that Dave Ramsey thing on Thursday night, starting June 6th, I believe. And we want you to sign up for $99. And then you can have a 13-week course, and we'll take they'll have a Dave Ramsey video. Pastor will be here to answer questions. And on Thursday nights, you can just get in there and really help you get out of debt or help you get some of your finances straight. You know what? His stuff is all available online, too. You can go to his website. I'm just showing you. See, there's some good things you can find on the internet. Provides educational resources. I use this for school all the time. Man, I can print out little math diagram charts, little things that make math fun, educational diagrams. I can print it all just free. You can print things. You can give them to kids. You can make transparencies. You can learn things. Man, you can go to howstuffworks.com and learn a whole bunch of stuff you didn't know. And, I mean, you say, well, man, who has time for that? Listen, you always ought to be expanding your mind. You've got to be learning new things. You want to pick up some new languages? You could do that online. You can do a lot of great stuff. Education, it'll help expand your mind. We just purchased software for our school, and I just got done training with it, and we're going to be implementing this next semester, Lord willing, and it's going to have grades. We're going to post grades online on the internet. It's through an internet. The parents are going to get a login, and the pastor, they can see every lesson plan for every day, what quiz they're taking, what section it's over, how many times they're absent, their transcript, their GPA, and everything, how many demerits they got because they were talking too much in class. Amen. All right. So you got all that information. It's on the internet. I'm not against it. Listen, there's some good tools. Man, it's great. I don't have to go in the computer lab and install 65 copies and make sure it's running right. A teacher can sit at home now, all right, have their grade book, and enjoy some time off that's well-deserved and put grades in. I think that's good instead of them being in here. Does that make sense? It'll be a blessing to parents and teachers. And your kids can go online and they can't delete it. They can't hide it. You will see it, parents. Improves communication methods. You say, man, I thought you said that it decreases communication. Listen, you need real interaction with real people. But let me tell you this. This is just a wonderful blessing. I use Skype, all right, with my parents who are living in Connecticut and my grandparents who live in Montreal, Canada. It is free. You download Skype. You have a webcam. You hook it up to your computer. Listen, this is priceless. Why? Because I can hold my son and have my grandfather on the other side who doesn't get to see him. Maybe once a year, maybe once every couple years. Plane tickets to Montreal are expensive, okay? And he can see my son interact. I mean, my son puts his hand on the screen and he tries to grab the camera and everything. It's great, and he can talk, and it's live. It's great. It's a free tool, and it's a wonderful tool. Could you do wicked things on Skype? Yeah, you bet you can. But listen, I can talk to my mom. She'll be at home. I'll Skype her. I'll call. She'll answer. I don't know where she is. She's cooking in the kitchen. Hey, how you doing? Good. And we can talk like we're in the kitchen. You know, that's priceless. It's family time is priceless. And when you can see them, it adds kind of a layer of interaction. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Listen, it can be a blessing. I can email my mom and send pictures. I don't have to write. I don't have to pay for shipping. I don't have to pay for postage to go to Canada just for a letter. Now, some of my grandparents don't have that. You've got to do things traditionally, but you can save money and you can stay in contact with family. It's great. It really is a blessing, especially for folks who are even farther overseas in the Philippines or in China or in Europe. Man, it's free. You just go on there and, And you can use your internet connection, and you can stay in contact with your family. All right, we looked at pitfalls, we looked at blessings. Let's finally just close up with some practical tips and basic safeguards. I just want to be a help to you, okay? Just be a help to you. Yeah. So, how do you protect yourself on the internet? Do you like this kid? All right?
You still up there?
Yeah, that's how you protect yourself. No, not really like that. There's some things you're going to need to do that I'm going to try to encourage you with. With such a wicked aspect of it, how do you protect yourself? How do you stay pure online? How do you communicate without gossip? How do you do these things? Well, you know, one of the biggest things I can do, and you know, I don't understand why people don't do this, unless you don't know. But now you will know, so now you'll have a guilty conscience if you don't do it. Filter your internet. Filter it. If you do not filter it, not good for you, okay? Can you put the next slide on there for me, Caleb, please? All right, I'm going to give you two filters that I recommend, okay? I use them both. All right, first one, I use NetNanny, okay? You put it on your computer. You have different login pages, all right? I can log in as me if I want to just do me things, all right? If my wife logs in, she can go to ladies' websites with ladies' clothing. I have no business looking at ladies' clothing, if you know what I'm saying. All right, does that make sense? All right, certain types of clothing I don't need to look at, okay? My wife, we can look at it together or whatever. But the idea is there's things I don't need to see. So she may want to see some things that I don't need to see, all right? So you can set up time limits for your kids. They go on there, they log in. 1 hour left to play video games. All of a sudden, 1 hour off, kicks them off. Oh, man, Dad, can you please? No, go cut the grass or shovel the sand. Okay, so there you go. $39.99, all right, a year. Okay, everything is going yearly. I'm sorry, that's just everything is going like this. All right, if you go to a website, there's a website called top10reviews.com, okay? Top10reviews.com, I think. I may have messed it up. All right? You go on there and they give you the top 10 of everything. Best LCD TV, top 10 reviews. Best microwave, top 10 reviews. Listen, you go on here, top 10 reviews. This one shows up. And if you buy it through them, you save money. I renewed my subscription $28 the other day. So you save money. So I'm just telling you that I'm trying to save you money. It's good. All right? So $39.99 or $28 if you save money. Listen, it gives you time. It gives you logs. All right? You type it in there. You want to see what your young daughter, what your husband, what your wife was looking at. It gives you logs. It can email it to you. Can email it to your pastor. Whatever. Okay. You can stay accountable. All right. It'll show you what it blocked. Oh, praise the Lord, it blocked that. Oh, praise the Lord, it blocked. Kids weren't even looking for it. It just popped up, blocked it. Okay. It even blocks bad words. The other day I was on sermon audio today, this morning, and it said Jesus preaches a message from. Okay, from hell, okay? And that the word hell had a little dollar sign, asterisk, question mark. It blocked the text on the page. That's pretty good technology. All right, so NetNanny does that. Another one, rotate it. All right, it's Safe Eyes. Safe Eyes is very good. Very, very similar products. I'm not competing. I'm not trying to sell anything. All right, Pastor said, let's sell it in the bookstore. Listen, you can download it for cheaper. So why would I sell you something more, okay? If you want to get it, I'll get you a copy or whatever, okay? But Safe Eyes, very good. Safe Eyes has an app for the iPhone, okay? NetNanny does not, so you can have a Safe Eyes iPhone app as well. It'll block all the things like the other thing. Block videos, YouTube, instant messaging, emails. It'll filter everything. It'll keep your family accountable. It'll keep your screen clean. It's not perfect. No, there's no 100% solution unless you turn off the screen, okay? That's the only 100% solution. But listen, you say, well, brother, yeah, and I'm a grandfather, and you know, we don't use the thing. We don't even know how the thing works. All right, do your grandkids come to your house once in a while? All right, your grandkids can know how to boot that thing up, and you say, well, I don't even know how it works. And, bless God, we have one, and we can email once in a while. Listen, are your grandkids coming and visit you? You need to filter it. All right, why? Because they know that you don't have internet filtering at your house. They have it at home. They have it at school here. All right, but they don't have it at grandma and grandpa's. It's dangerous, okay? So it applies to everybody. Filter your internet. Not expensive. You can protect your family. Create accountability with passwords and reporting, okay? This is important, okay? Don't put a filter if it's not password protected. All right? Just shut the thing off, okay? Have passwords. The best thing is what we do is you set two passwords up, okay? Your husband takes the first part. Your wife takes the second part. Our husband says, all right, I think of something she's not going to think of. Mustang. All right, in the car. Okay, Mustang, right? So you put Mustang down, and then she's in the kitchen. Ah, all right, whatever she's doing. And then she thinks, sequins. All right? All right, so Mustang sequins. All right? Now, you don't tell each other the password. You type Mustang in. You walk around. Go to the kitchen. Get a snack. She comes in. She puts in sequins. All right? And then that's it. And then Mustang sequins the password. You say enter. That way, none of you can disable it. Okay? Without your together. Okay? Does it make sense? Why? Because, listen, you are a man. It's late at night. Everybody's asleep. Oh, I can't go to sleep. It's 11 o'clock at night. You go on there. I want to disable this thing. There's a temptation. Mustang. I don't know the rest of it. All right? All right? You say, oh, that's stupid. Listen, better do something. Better be foolish like that and go back to bed than commit some sin. All right? So have a separate password. Your wife, during the day, wants to and turn on the chat site because maybe she wanted to talk to somebody, you know, or whatever. Well, you know, she types in, I know secret. I just don't know the first part. And she can't get in there either. And then if you want to disable it together, that's your prerogative, okay? Filter your internet. Create accountability. Create passwords for your kids. Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, two are better than one, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Accountability is a wonderful thing. I tell my kids this, and I got guys who tell each other, listen, I haven't seen anything immoral or improper on the internet this week. And this week, listen, it can happen, all right? I'm telling you. All right, did you read your Bible today? Yeah. And keep accountable. All right, did you know, how are you doing with your internet, your thought life? Man, I'm struggling with it. And the kids, they help each other out. They keep accountable to each other. Listen, if your husband, keep accountable to your wife. Wife, accountable to your husband. Father, son, daughter, mother, okay? Keep accountable to each other. You can do that with filtering software and passwords. Next one, use discernment and wisdom. We're almost done here. Use discernment and wisdom. Now, in all aspects of life, obviously, okay, just use the brain God gave you, okay? Not the flesh that you're wrapped around in, okay? But use the brain God gave you. Use biblical example. I don't care if you put this in a little binder and what to do on the internet, all right? And Brother Yen LeMessel, okay? That you put that on there. All right, I don't care. You can use these verses, look up more. It'll be a help to you, okay? So use discernment when you're doing things. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, 22 says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All right, so use discernment and wisdom when you're dealing with the internet. Apply the flee principle. Let's say something does happen and you are tempted and something comes up. Man, shut the thing off and run, okay? Literally run in your house, okay? Go find your wife. Go get out of the house, drive around, okay? And find somebody and tell somebody, okay? Does that make sense? If you're a young person or if your kid's around, you need to be able to have your kids be able to come to you if there's a problem. Does that make sense? Maybe it was by accident. But run. Don't stay there and stare, okay? Turn it off and leave, okay? And then get your wife to put it back together. Thomas Chalmers said, the best way to disengage an impure desire is to engage in a pure one. The best way to expel the love of what is evil is to embrace the love of what is good instead. To be specific, we must replace the object of our sinful affection with an infinitely more worthy one, God Himself. Run away and quote Scripture. There's a bunch of verses there to help you out there about fleeing youthful lust and other things. Next, protect your personal information. We talked about this a little bit earlier. All right, just be careful. Don't leave credit card numbers on screens at libraries. Okay, just be very careful. You say, I wouldn't do that. You need to protect. You be proactive about what you're doing online. Okay, don't give information to people who just anybody asks you that information. Most companies will never ask you for sensitive information through an email. They will call you or you will call them and they'll say the phone is recorded. They'll give you their license number. You can talk to their boss. All right, you can do that. So don't be foolish with your information. Don't open unknown email attachments. If there's an email you don't know it's from, just delete it. Doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal anyway. All right? That makes sense? If you don't know where it's from, just delete it. Better than you click it and something happens to your computer and you got to call me to fix it and put it back together. All right? Block advertisements, YouTube comments, things like that. Block it. All right? Get an ad blocker. Get a pop-up blocker. Get something that'll block advertisements on Facebook. They've got lingerie advertisement. What's with that? All right? On our NetNanny, all right? It blocks all of it. There's no advertising ever on our computer, period. It's great. I love it. All right? And you can do that if you buy filtering software. Educate your children. Man, talk to your kids about this stuff. All right, I already talked to them before, okay? I haven't talked to all of them, but talked to most of them. But listen, you're the parent. You are the head of your household, okay? If you're a single mom or whatever, mom, you take care of your children, okay? You need to know what's going on. All right, if you don't know what's going on, don't let them use it until you know what's going on. All right, they will know what's going on. The kids already know more than you do. Okay, trust me. All right, so it's scary like that. So just be proactive about it. You learn about it. All right, avoid chat rooms. Said this earlier. Okay, your children will protest. They'll get mad. They'll say, I want to chat with my friends after school. All right, I'll drop you off at their house. Okay, you can chat with them all you want. Okay, you can chat with them at recess. You can chat with them at lunch. All right, you can chat with them in my kitchen while I'm watching you. Okay, that's great. Don't let them chat on the internet. Do not let them do it, period. Okay? Don't surf the web. All right? What? That's what you're supposed to do. No, don't surf the web. Okay? Do not surf aimlessly. Have a goal. Say, I'm looking for this. Do it and get off. All right? If you surf, you will get in trouble every time, or you'll just waste a whole bunch of your life. Okay? Finally, implement rules for internet use in your home. Your home. You do whatever you want in your home. Okay, I'm giving you guidelines. But if you're a dad, all right, be a man and tell your kids what to do. All right? If you're a dad, you say, son, daughter, from now on, I heard this great, wonderful message that we'll listen to 35 times. Again, with you guys, sitting down. All right? About what you will do on the internet and not. Okay? So, you can go on there and tell your kids what they will and will not do on their phone, on their internet, on their email, okay? I've included here for your help in the back. I put a pledge there. I don't know if you all see it there. It's a family pledge page in the back. All right, you can write your own or whatever. Have your kids sign it. I will not look at inappropriate content. If I see something inappropriate, I will run to mom and dad and tell them about it. All right, I will not give information that is not mine to give out. I will not this and I will not do that. I will not do that. And just sign it. It makes it's concrete in their mind now. I signed something, all right? About what we do and what we don't do in your house. Does it make sense? All right, I'm just trying to be a help to you. I know the internet has got some things that we need to stay away from, but overall, the Lord can use it for a wonderful tool in your house. Filter it. I'm begging you, mom and dad. If you can pay $60 a month for Cox Internet, $120 a month for AT&T cell phone, you can pay $28 a year for filtering your computer. Okay, it's worth it. All right. If not, sell it, all right? And don't use it. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, and kind of a different topic tonight, but Father, something that is just so needy in our families today. Father, I think some people are just, frankly, the technology age just went over our heads and we kind of left it behind. The problem is our kids today and young people are being influenced at left and right and where they go. Even us, Father, we are bombarded by it. And Lord, I pray that maybe some things, some verses that we've shared tonight would be a help to your people, that we could just be an encouragement. Father, I pray that people would make wise decisions. Pray that the internet would be used to honor and glorify you in a wonderful way. And Father, that you would protect every single person here tonight, Father. I thank you for the listeners, Lord, and I ask that you'd bless the message as it leaves this place. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, I talked about the internet and some of the blessings and some of the pitfalls. Well, one of the blessings on the internet was the fact that we can share the gospel. And you say, what is this gospel that you're talking about? You see, we all know that we're sinners, right? And we all deserve to go to a place called hell for eternity. You see, we're sinners not just by the way we're born, because we're born of Adam, but by choice as well. We all know our hearts and we all know that we do things that are not pleasing to God. God is holy and perfect and just and we are not. And many times we do things that would offend him. You know, if you've offended God, that's called sin. And because of that, we're going to pay for eternity in a place called hell. Not a pleasant place at all. The Bible describes it in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a fire that endureth forever where the worm dieth not. And we don't want you to go there tonight. The truth is that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and he suffered and he bled and he died on a cross to pay for your sin. You see, somebody's got to pay for it, but Jesus paid it for you already. He hung and he died, and 3 days later he rose from the grave and was seen by hundreds of people. And tonight, with an upraised hand, I just want to ask, have you ever put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has already done for you? If you have, I'd like you to raise your hand. If you know that you're born again because one day you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, okay, you can put them down. Jesus Christ saved you from your sins. But maybe you say, wait a second, Yan, I've never done that before. I never asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sins and to give me a home in heaven. I've never prayed a prayer. I've never gotten down on my knees and asked God to save me from my sins. Maybe if that's you and you've never done that, maybe you could raise your hand just to let me know. And I'd like to pray for you tonight. If you just raise your hand, I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. But I want to know if there's anybody I need to pray for that. All right, no hands are raised. Maybe tonight you need to make some decisions about the internet and the use in your household. Maybe we've been relaxed in some of the things we've done. Maybe in our household we kind of let things go and let the kids take care of it. Maybe you need to buy some filtering software or do something in your home to protect your family. Protect your family from the wicked one. Protect your family from Satan and from what he wants to do to destroy your home. Maybe that's you, and maybe something in this message was an encouragement to you. I'd like you to raise your hand so I can pray for you tonight. Maybe there's some decisions that need to be made. All right, you can put your hands down. All right, I'm going to pray for you. Father, we come before you again, Lord. We thank you that you've given us the ability to use your scripture just to show our lives and how we can pattern our lives after what you'd want us to do, Father. I pray tonight that there's some people here tonight that something in the message was an encouragement and challenge to their hearts. Maybe some things they need to do, some things they need to implement in their household to protect their family and protect themselves from some of the pitfalls we see in the internet. I pray you just take care of them, Lord. I pray that they would commit to that and they would stick to that decision. Father, I pray that Satan would not change their decision to do what's right, but Father, that you would just work in their home, Father. I pray that you would just protect each and every family of our church. Lord, I ask that you continue to take care of our needs. Father, tonight we've had some specific